Please be seated. Please open your Bible to 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. Same author, but he wrote three little letters that are tucked away in the back of your New Testament. And we've been making our way through 1 John throughout this summer, actually starting last spring, I think. And we're going to wrap up on Labor Day weekend. So, 1 John chapter 4, and today verses 7 through 12. John has been called the Apostle of Love. It is his great theme. John is the only one of the four gospel writers who tells us about the commandment that Jesus gave. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And that phrase, love one another, is repeated three times in the text I'm about to read. So listen for it. Hear now the word of God. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, we are going to talk about love this morning. But just to get your attention, before I talk about love, I'm going to talk about sex. Have I got it? And I want to talk about perhaps the greatest oxymoron of our time. You know what an oxymoron is. It's two words that go together that contradict each other. Jumbo shrimp, right? Military intelligence. I really don't have the right to use that one. I've never been in uniform myself, but learned that one from military folks. Biggest oxymoron of our time, safe sex. No such thing. And I'm not just talking about viruses that can be transmitted. It is dangerous. It's dynamite. And that's the way God intended it. And that's why God, in his love and wisdom, placed sexual union within the bond of marriage of a man and a woman. That's where it belongs. Like a fire in the fireplace. Outside the fireplace, you can burn the house down. In the fireplace, keeps the whole house warm. Okay? Now, if safe sex is an oxymoron, the next impossibility is safe love. There is no such thing as safe love. When you love, you put yourself out there. You risk. You risk being hurt. You risk your love not being reciprocated. You put your heart right out there. Remember that the wizard told the Tin Man that he didn't know how lucky he was not to have a heart. Right? Some friends of mine, a longtime friend who is also a Presbyterian pastor, he and his wife are down in Southern California. About 25 years ago now, they brought a six-month-old baby boy into their home, Josh. And they were told that Josh may have some developmental difficulties because of issues of substance abuse when he was in utero and then physical abuse in the first 6 months of his life before he was removed from his birth mother. And they were told that there's some risks associated here, but they took, out of love, they took Josh into their home. Josh is about 26 years old now. He'll never leave home. He's a wonderful, loving young man, but he has some profound disabilities. My friends, out of love, took a risk, and they are committed to loving Josh for the rest of their lives. And they're also planning financially for his provision after they're gone. There is no such thing as safe love. So why do we take the risk? Why do we long to love and we long to be loved? Because, brothers and sisters, you were made in the image of God who is love. That's why. God is love, John tells us. And the God who made you to love, to receive love, to give love. Now in these verses in 7, 11, and 12, all of them have the phrase, love one another. And you may know their repetition is biblical underlining. John really wants us to get this. Love one another. But first, we have to see what kind of love John is talking about. He's not talking about involuntary love. He's talking about agape, which must be chosen. Self-giving love is a choice. Now, there are dynamics in life that are we sometimes call love that's involuntary, right? We talk about falling in love. You were walking down the road one day, you fell in a hole, you were in love, right? And you can't help it, right? It's like you got hit by lightning. And that's a wonderful experience. I recommend it. It's also short-lived. Many of you are familiar with the poet W.H. Auden. He once wrote a little bit of doggerel. It goes like this. Oh, when I was in love with you, then I was clean and brave. And all around the wonder grew how well I did behave. But now the fancy passes by, and nothing will remain. And by, they'll say that I am quite myself again. But agape love is a choice, is a call to obedience. 1 John 3:16 says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. That's the biblical definition of love. Jesus chose to leave the safety of heaven to come among us and to lay down his life. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for one another. It's a voluntary choice to sacrifice my rights for the sake of another, for the sake of others. And we need to be really careful because the good of agape love is sometimes profoundly rivaled by other goods that are good but not as good. Let's take knowledge. And, I dig knowledge. I love to read. I love to acquire knowledge. I can't get enough. And I am reminded from time to time that the Apostle Paul, who had a lot of knowledge, said, you can take that and 25 cents and get a pack of gum. Well, nobody gets a pack of gum for 25 cents anymore. But remember, the Apostle Paul says, knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. Knowledge is good. Love is better. 1 Corinthians 13, and by the way, we're gonna read it as a group later in the service. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have knowledge, if I have faith to move mountains, have not love. If I deliver my body to be burned, burn me at the stake, but have not love, I'm nothing. So, we make the choice. Don't let rivals to love carry us away and trick us into thinking that our goals and ambitions are more important than opportunities to care about each other. So, now, I want to take a closer look at these three phrases. Look at verse 7 and 8 if you have your Bible open. If you don't, please open your Bible again. Keep it open. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Go. Does anybody here besides me know the song? Yes, one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knoweth God. He who does not love does not know God. For I'm singing a solo up here. Come on. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Okay. Janet and I went to the same camp. Okay. Oh, thank you. Get some recognition here. Let me read it. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. John is giving us another test here. He's been giving us tests of authenticity throughout his book. There was the humility test. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There was the obedience test. If there's no evidence of obedience in our lives, you better check, is my walk authentic? The love test. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. If we don't love, don't kid yourself. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Wow. Every church, and I've observed over the years, and we're all called to love. But it's been my observation that every church is blessed. Now, I'm not going to name names, and these are the kind of people that would deny it if you named their names. Every church I've ever been a part of has been blessed with a handful of people who really know how to love. And the aroma of love that they give off affects everybody else in the church and makes us all into better at loving one another. There's an aroma of love. when Charla and I used to live in Vacaville, California, before we moved here in 1991. And when I first moved to Vacaville, before I'd ever met Charla, there was an onion dehydrating plant in Vacaville. It used to be kind of famous for that. Does anybody remember driving through Vacaville and smelling the onions? Yeah. The whole town smelled of onions. And you could always tell anybody who worked at the onion plant. Because, I mean, the whole town smelled of onions. And the people that worked there, oh my, they really smelled of onions. They were making, dehydrating. They were making onion powder, dehydrated onion. And these people just exuded the aroma of onion wherever they... There are people who have been deeply impacted by the love of Jesus and deeply shaped by the love of Jesus until the aroma of his love is about them. You can just tell it. And that seasons the whole body. It seasons the whole church. But be wary of the test. Whoever does not love does not know God. Now, no Christian is perfect in love. We all fall really short. But if we really know God, we invest in other people, and it's going to become evident in our lives. The second time we find this phrase, love one another, is in verses 9 and 10. Let me read it. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Remember, God is love, and God demonstrated love, costly love, in sending his Son into the world to the cross to be the payment, the propitiation for our sin. That's love. And it's even more dramatic when you think about when God came into the world in the flesh, in the person of Jesus, the Son of God, who did Jesus come to love? Did Jesus come to love the lovable? No. The Apostle Paul says, second chapter of Ephesians, that you and I were dead in our trespasses and sins. There's not much lovable about the dead. Not much appealing. If we only love attractive people, brothers and sisters, we have not learned the love of God. Remember that Jesus said, if you love only those who love you, then how are you different from the pagans? Jesus came to love the unlovely, the unlovable. He did not come to love those who were spiritually alive and growing and vital. He didn't come to love those who were making great progress toward God and just needed a little boost to get the rest of the way there. No, he came for those like you and me who were dead in our trespasses and sin. So, we as the children of God, we as the sons and daughters of God's family, brothers and sisters, God will bring people. You're not called to love the world. Only God can do that. But God will bring into your life lovable people who are easy to love and challenging people who are perhaps not quite as easy to love. And that's the test of love, when we love as God has loved us when we were unlovable. So, third time we hear this phrase, God is love, is in verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And by the way, that perfected in us could also be translated completed in us. His love is made complete in us. Now, that raises a couple of really intriguing questions. First of all, what could ever be incomplete about the love of God? What could ever be imperfect about the love of God that is perfected in us? And then what is John implying when he says no one has ever seen God? Why does he say that? I believe it means just this. When the love that God has put into me is extended to you, God's love is made complete and it's made visible. When I love not just in words but in actions, when you love me not just in words but in actions, God's love is completed and it's made visible. So, as John says, let us love one another because God is love, because he sent his Son into the world for us, because there's no greater adventure in all the universe. It's dangerous. We will get hurt. He did, but it's worth it. We were made for love. And even the most hard-edged person here knows that in the deepest place. We were made for love. We were made to be loved by God, to love God in return. Remember, Jesus said that's the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God. We were made to love our neighbor as ourselves. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Amen. Let me lead us in prayer. God, we are pitifully poor at love. We're so often preoccupied with ourselves and so often unwilling to pay the price of love. Give us grace. Pour out your love upon us, O God. And give us, by your Holy Spirit, such gratitude for your love that we will freely give it away to others. Love is never in short supply, O God, because you are love and you are infinite. Your supply of love is absolutely boundless. So liberate us from thinking there's not enough to go around. And make us a people of love. Make us a fellowship of love, O God, that the world will see in our church right here, Christ Presbyterian Church, the world will see there's a difference because of your love. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.